seagull. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Episode 431 to be broadcast on Wednesday, February 19th, 2025 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you are watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment and we should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Sorry I missed you all last week. I had an emergency dental issue, which I'm still working on. Anyway, things happen. And let's see, what else have I got here on Rant? So where is the micromobility that's so alive in Europe? You know, you go to Europe, and all over Europe, it's bigger than a bike, it's smaller than a car, and it might be a tool that you didn't even know you could use, but I have seen a few cases of these things being used in New York City, big cities maybe, more so than anywhere else. Even UPS has them. Can you believe that? So they're pedal assist vehicles that are able to travel around without becoming a traffic issue. And they get in and out of traffic a little bit easier. I've got some other things that I will mention in this show too about that. But anyway, let's move on to the rest of the rant, because I'm ranting because we just don't have enough of this here. You know, we really should have more of it. And so much for the positive aspects of congestion pricing. You know, I've been talking about congestion pricing a lot because New York just started enforcing that. And guess what? The streets of Manhattan became a lot easier to get around in and a lot safer for people on bicycles and for pedestrians. Very cool stuff. And there were major, major shout outs and applauds from places like London, England, Paris, France, you know, other places in the world that were looking at it as it's about time you guys got onto this because this is a great idea. So much for the positive aspects of it, though. Donnie says he is threatening to kill the congestion pricing in New York City, even if he isn't quite sure how to do it. He probably doesn't even know what it is, but we won't get into that. So there's a former Times columnist, Paul Krugman, and he wonders why, as the new policy is clearly working, congestion is down, transit ridership is up, and even two-thirds of drivers now support it, regardless of whether Donnie can or should. You know, he might do it anyway. We're in hard times right now. You know, people are making, let me call it, executive decisions without doing the research. But anyway, let's not kill congestion pricing in New York City or any other big city should it become a thing to do. It's a great idea. So anyway, on a positive side, Franny, the infamous Fran Storch, dragged me off to the chiropractor. Yeah. And I discovered a few positive things. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show. And in the why don't you just ride a bike department, during the first year of England's second largest low emission zone, the National Health Service saved $40,000 a month because residents had fewer respiratory illnesses. Well, what do you know? Duh, the big D-U-H on that one. And when you get a chance, check out the Green Wave Rule in New York City. If you can maintain a speed of 15 miles per hour, you'll never have to stop at a traffic light. Haha, cool, huh? So what it is the lights are timed for 15 miles per hour. So if you're on a bicycle or an e-bike, you can very easily maintain 15 miles an hour. Bear in mind, New York City is flat, 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 as is Chicago, as are a lot of these big cities. So that makes it a lot easier to keep up the speed. But anyway, I put a YouTube video out and linked it onto my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. And you should watch it just because, A, it's entertaining to watch a bicycle going through every single green light, one after another after another. I think they went through like a total of 24 lights without stopping. Now, to add to that, and this is where it gets really, really confusing. This is a heroic thing to do in New York City. Count the number of times the bicycle rider, who is in a quote-unquote protected lane, is cut off by cars or pedestrians or another bike crossing over in front of them. It's entertaining. So anyway, I'll let you enjoy that. And it is on my Facebook page, so check it all out. So, my mechanical minute and tip of the week. Yes, you can still ride your bike in the snow. I was reminded of this because I left the house this morning at, 5:20 a.m., something like that. 5:20. And as I proceeded to leave the house, I ran into the weather that we had experienced over the weekend, which started out simply as snow, and then it became rain and freezing rain, and then it went up to 40 degrees.
Oh.
So there was a lot of rain and a lot of slush, and you know, I got out and scraped the end of my driveway real quickly before the slush turned into what it was this morning at 22 degrees. And 22 degrees and frozen slush turns into ice capades. So is it a good idea to go out and ride your bike in that kind of weather? I don't know, really, but there are people that do it. And I've got a clip from an NPR piece out of Colorado, from Colorado Radio, and we'll go there in just a second. So I do not recommend it, let's put it that way. But, you know, it can be done, I guess. How to best ride when it's cold outside. And it shows this guy riding a mountain bike down the road in a snowstorm with cars behind him. I don't think so. So apparently in Colorado, there's a winter bike to work day. Veteran cyclists have some tips to reunite you with the two wheels, even when the roads and bike paths look dicey. So the bottom line is to take it slow. Give yourself extra time and be particularly careful at intersections where motorists may not be able to stop. This does not sound a whole lot different than driving your car on the road. But there are some other things to take into consideration here. One of them being that your brakes don't work so good. Of course, you can't slam on them anyway, because if you slam on the brakes, you're going to just start sliding out, and that's going to be another problem. But this particular person seems to think that winter biking is worth the extra effort. I tend to disagree. I find that it's you're taking a high risk. People who are driving motorized vehicles, although they are used to seeing you on the road, they're certainly not used to seeing you on the road in the winter as much as they are in the summer. So I think that that's a problem. But anyway, these are the tips. when you're riding in the cold, ice, and snow. Coast over ice. Try not to break or turn onto it. If you turn onto it, you will land right there. I can guarantee you that. Ride in a low gear with lower tire pressure than the bike's recommended maximum. Lower your seat so you can more easily put your foot down. Keep your lights on, even in the daylight. I do that anyway. Distribute your weight on the bike, like bike bags and all that, evenly. I'm not a big advocate of this. The gear, the hardware, this person normally rides his touring bike with unstudded ice tires. On road bikes, he advises studded tires. Disc brakes are important. They help better. Bar mitts for your handlebars. Big agreement there for sure. Clothes, layers. I was watching a video yesterday about Canadian video, and it was an energy efficient house builder that's building all sorts of houses, and they build their houses, the really super efficient ones, by putting the insulation on the outside of the house instead of an inside of the house, and it helps hold the heat in better. It's kind of an intriguing idea. And he said, very similar to wearing a sweater. If it gets cold in your house, what do? You put a sweater on, you feel warmer. He said, put the layer on the outside, not on the inside. But anyway, same thing when you're cycling. I mean, I think a good base layer definitely helps a lot. Makes a big, big difference and allows you to wick moisture off of your body for sure. But again, water-resistant outerwear, not waterproof. So you won't overheat. When it's extra cold, you could actually use, his suggestion is, snowshoeing pants or any kind of insulated winter pant. And finally, an irresistible extra idea. This one I found amusing. A shower cap to put over your helmet. It'll keep out the snow and keep in the heat. There's a clever idea for you. Put a shower cap over the top of your helmet, close up all the vents, and it keeps your head warmer and dry also at the same time. That's it. I don't recommend it. I don't know why anybody would even consider it, but, you know, people do, and so we can't really, you know, we can't judge too much here. But I just find that in addition to the uncomfortable aspect of cycling in the wintertime, the fact that you're out there on the road and the cars aren't ready for you, don't play with fire. Not worth it. Just not worth it. So anyway, that's it. I covered it. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on to the next piece here, and this is going to be, as far as Ron's tip of the week goes, chiropractic care. How chiropractic care can improve your cycling performance. This is going to roll us right into the show because I went to visit a chiropractor last week. I was there actually last Monday, which why I wasn't here. One of the other reasons why I wasn't here.
Because somebody's been trying to tell you to go for a year.
Yeah, if you could hear that in the background, I bet you can't because she's so far away from the microphone. Fran just commented on the fact that someone has been bugging me for a long time to go to a chiropractor. And she's not wrong. She's definitely not wrong. One of the key benefits of chiropractic care for cyclists is improved joint function. Cycling in a bent over position can lead to muscle imbalances and tightness, which can cause pain and reduce performance. Poor bike posture can lead to fatigue and an increased risk of injury. So I'm going to go through some talks here about chiropractic care. I did some research on this, and I thought it would be good to bring up. So we will talk a little bit more. 5 benefits of chiropractic care for cyclists. So We talk about a lot of different things. We talk about our nutrition. We talk about our even our mental health as well as our physical health and how we're trying to balance everything out. It all really comes down to a balance issue. Even the benefits of doing yoga and why that works with cycling. So anyway, benefit number one, chiropractic care can help prevent injury. Regular chiropractic checkups can help athletes stay strong and healthy. Checking in with your chiropractor on a frequent basis can ensure that you don't develop any musculoskeletal issues that may progress into full-blown problems down the line. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to check in with your chiropractor every week or even every month. Rather, a regular checkup schedule can be created by your own individual needs. This way, you can ensure that you're staying on top of your health and you don't feel overburdened by having to keep too many appointments throughout the year. There you go. Number two benefit, chiropractors can help athletes recover after an injury. Chiropractors can help certain athletes avoid injury by identifying abnormalities before they become bigger issues, as discussed in our previous point here, but cycling is a very demanding sport. It can put a strain on your legs, your lower back, and even portions of your upper body. Luckily, when the cyclist is kept down by an injury, chiropractors are ready to help them recover and become efficient again. Through the use of advanced evaluation and treatment techniques found at a chiropractor's office, athletes can be put back on their bikes in no time. This is why I'm at the chiropractor right now, because I'm still trying to figure out this mystery of what happened to my legs and, you know, who threw the switch and why did everything go sour. And of course, we've got a diagnosis of Lyme, which is a chronic Lyme situation. So I'm attacking that on a daily basis, and will be for quite some time, hoping that maybe that might be part of it, if not all of it. We don't really know yet, but that is the direction that we're looking at. I've had all sorts of other tests done, including doing stress tests in my lower body to figure out if there was something going wrong there, if I was getting any kind of blockages, because, you know, I had that heart issue a few years ago. So, we're looking everywhere trying to explore what's going on. And so far, everybody's coming up with, nope, can't figure it out. Nope, can't figure it out. All of a sudden, you know, it becomes okay, am I losing my mind? Or is it really true that my legs hurt, or am I just imagining it?
No.
I don't think I'm imagining it. But anyway, so benefit number three, chiropractors work with cyclists of all ability levels. Whether a patient is a Tour de France winner or a five-year-old who just got his first bike, chiropractors standing by to help. Injuries can happen to anyone, no matter what level of competition a patient is involved with. Chiropractors will do everything they can to assist the athlete in returning to his or her sport as soon as possible. Benefit number four, chiropractors can teach cyclists how to properly warm up before rides. There you go. Both novice and experienced athletes, there's often a misunderstanding about stretching and warming up. Chiropractors can educate cyclists and athletes in general on the best warm-up techniques for their sport. In most cases, this involves a dynamic warm-up as opposed to a static warm-up. However, there are situations it might make more sense to perform a few sustained stretches before going on a ride. My personal, I'm doing a few things, but one of my personal favorites, and when I get up in the morning, I go down into child's pose and downstairs in front of the wood stove so I can stay warm. And I could fall asleep there. I just love it. It opens up my hips. It stretches my lower back. It makes a big difference. So anyway, that's another benefit. Chiropractic care may improve cycling performance. Now, this is the part that we're all looking for. And I will mention something as to my experience with this as soon as I go through this last benefit here. So, for instance, if a cyclist has decreased mobility in his or her knee joints, he or she may have to set their seat height at an angle, which makes pedaling less efficient. Through a detailed chiropractic plan of care, cyclists can improve their mile times and get new PRs. If you're an avid cyclist and need help recovering from an injury, improving your mobility, or just injury-proofing your body from the demands of the sport, there are chiropractors there that are ready to help you today. So anyway, let's reflect on this. This is the last piece of this. I'm going to make this go away because I've got some other fun stuff to look at here. Go here, open this up. So I go to the chiropractor, and of course he asks me a whole bunch of questions, and including, which I found interesting, have you ever had a concussion? And not that I can remember. No joke there, Franny. No joke. Anyway, but yeah, not really that I can remember ever having. I know I've hit my head a few times.
That's how that works.
And I know that I have worn a helmet for a really, really long time to help prevent that from happening. And but I could never really think of any time when I really hit my head hard enough to feel the results of a possible concussion. But what I did mention is, you know, I raced bikes for 10 years. At least once a year, you fall off your bike hard. And throwing your body down onto the pavement when racing a bicycle can cause a concussion without hitting your head. So that's something that a lot of people are not aware of. Well, this guy is a, Fran, you're going to have to refresh me here. He's a cranial what?
Chirocranial
chiropractor. So he likes to work, start from your head and work his way down. And so he made some adjustments, and he said, I needed some adjustments. And then I probably need a lot more than adjustments, but that's beside the point. But anyway, he did some work on me, and when he put me on the table prone, so my face was down against the table, he had me lift my legs one at a time, and I don't know, maybe, how far did I get off the table? 8 inches? Barely? Not much. I couldn't lift my legs up very high, but I just didn't really think much about it. I was trying to lift my legs up backwards. I mean, what's the big deal? Nobody can do that, right? Well, when he got done with me, they went real high. That's all I can tell you. So he increased my mobility in my hips. He also noted and pointed out to Fran, who was there for the appointment with me, that I had quite a discrepancy in the length of my leg, my right leg much shorter than my left leg. And that meant that I was basically out of alignment and kind of listing off to one side. And, you know, that's... So he worked on that. And he went... This guy was really cool because he went vertebrae by vertebrae and explained every single time he was doing something. He had this... I don't know what that thing is he has, Fran. Do you know what
it's
that...
It's an activator.
An activator. It's like a little mini hammer thing. And it goes tap, tap really, really fast against your spine and your vertebrae. And you don't really feel anything. It doesn't hurt in any way. I've hurt myself a lot more climbing a hill, but he just explains each and every one as he walks his way up the back of my body. And I thought it was, as much as it was hopefully going to be beneficial for me, it was a great learning experience. So almost worth it just to learn a little more about how your body works. Kind of cool, especially if you find a good one. This guy's good. Anyway, chiropractic care focuses on optimizing musculoskeletal health, alignment, and function through non-invasive techniques including spinal adjustments and manual therapies. For cyclists, chiropractors play a crucial role in optimizing spinal alignment. So he goes through this whole thing, all the way up, all the way up to my neck, and then he explains all these different things that are going on. And when I got done, my legs were even with one another. Big mystery, eh? So he was able to, without getting, like, I've gone to massage therapists before, and they get behind you, and they're yanking on your leg, and they're doing all this stuff, and they're trying to get you to, you know, lengthen that leg back out, because I know I've had this problem for a long time. And this guy didn't do any of that. He just went tap, 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 up and down my spine. And when he got done, my legs were even. So I didn't think a lot about that until I got off the table and realized that I was standing a lot more upright than I used to. Maybe I gained an inch in height. I don't know what, but I think that that is a yes, by the way, because I'll tell you what my next discovery was. And that was the following day I went to the gym to teach my class, and I had to raise the saddle on the bike by almost an inch, if not maybe a little more, and I was fine. And I've never been able to raise my seat up that high on the indoor bicycle in the gym, which makes me think, and is something I have to evaluate, and I'll try to get back to you guys on this as to what I learned. But I need to bring my tape measure in with me and just measure that and compare it with my seat measurements on my road bikes and cyclocross bikes, because I think that I may have been pedaling with my seat too low for a long time, because it was adjusting and compensating for my shorter leg. Because if I extended that shorter leg up any higher, I would get knee pain from it, because I was hyperextending the knee. So, anyway, as I get myself through this program, I'm going every week for the next 4 weeks. I then plan on making an appointment with my friendly bike fitter, and I want to get a new fit. Because another thing that I have discovered while finding that I'm raising my saddle up a little bit higher and I'm getting up a little bit higher in the seat on my bike is that I am able to bend over to the handlebars in a more comfortable fashion and hold an arched back in a forward-facing position a little bit better while riding the bike. Still haven't cured the leg problem. I'm still fighting with that. But I think there's a light at the end of this tunnel. And that is what I'm looking forward to seeing. So I'm going to be reporting back every week with Bicycle Talk. And I'll let you know how it's coming along, because I'm going to an appointment every week. And we'll see what happens. But the fact that I can hold myself in a much more, let me call it, efficient aerodynamic type position on the bike than I used to be able to without discomfort, that's a bonus right there. I like that. He also has me, when I go downstairs to do my morning stretching before I leave the house, he also has me lying down on an ice pack on the back of my neck and also on my lower back, which is never my favorite thing to do, because I don't like being cold, but I've been doing it. And his theory is that I have a lot of inflammation in my spinal column and in my neck, and I need to keep working on that. So I keep working on that. Whenever I get a moment, I'll take the ice packs out and go downstairs and lie on them on a flat surface on a floor. So we'll see. So chiropractors can optimize your spinal alignment, which is really, really good. They can find misalignments, which mine did, obviously, and it might address cycling performance and overall comfort. Also, muscle imbalances. Cycling primarily engages certain muscle groups, leading to potential imbalances and overuse injuries. Chiropractors can provide correct exercises and stretches to balance muscle strength and flexibility, improving your overall cycling performance. And proper bike setups are fundamental to preventing injuries and optimizing cycling efficiency. Consider checking into getting a bike fit. And a professional bike fitting session can adjust your saddle height, handlebar position, and reach maximize effort and performance. I'm going to wait, like I said, until I feel like I've reached the benefits of all the things that he can do for me, and then I'm going to go right to a bike fitter, and we're going to continue to take and explore and take a look at what I've got going on as far as my position on the bike, because that could make a big difference too. So saddle position, bike fit, handlebar adjustment, all these things can change the way you're putting pressure on your spine, which is, this is the area that I'm being focused on right now. And even the position of your foot and your cycling shoes and cleats may ensure a proper foot alignment and pedal efficiency. Misaligned cleats can lead to knee pain and discomfort. I generally don't have that. I'm also a big believer of full motion cleats and shoes. So I use a speed play pedal system, which I have been using for years. I found that to be better for me. I'm not sure if it's better for everyone, but it is good for me. I like having a little float in my pedals because I think it does make a difference. But then again, maybe I've needed that float because of my horrible misalignment of my body when I'm sitting on the bike. So again, to be continued. There's so much I'm learning. It's great. I'm older than dirt, still on the right side of it, but I'm still learning things. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And the things I'm learning are not just, basic everyday things, but also about cycling. And that's kind of cool because, you know, you think, well, you know, Ron's a know-it-all bicycle, pedaling Ron, bicycle talk guy, knows everything about cycling. No, I don't. I'm still learning. I'm still learning a lot. It's really cool. And it's exciting to think that making a change like this could actually enhance my cycling as I get older, which is really cool. That's a great thing. Scary, scary, scary. I'm not going out to buy a racing license right away, but although I was thinking about that last fall when I was starting to feel so good on my bicycle before everything went weird, but we're going to get by weird. We're going to move forward and we're going to figure it all out. So regular maintenance, you keep your bike and, you know, in a regular maintenance program, why not keep your body in a regular maintenance program? And you need to be aware of certain things. You want to be aware of potential warning signs of injury or discomfort, like persistent pain or stiffness in the neck, back, or knees, numbness or tingling in the hands, wrists, or feet. Boy, have I got a hand problem and a wrist problem. Difficulty maintaining proper posture while riding, sudden changes in cycling performance, or discomfort. Hey, there I am right there. So chiropractic care plays a vital role in optimizing spinal health and addressing musculoskeletal imbalances for cyclists. So that's where I'm at right now as far as the chiropractor goes. I think it is going to help. I'm hoping it's going to help. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. Franny's also got me on all sorts of crazy stuff that are, you know, we're trying to chase the lime out of my body, which has been it's obviously a challenge. I tested positive for four different, aspects of, strains, I don't know what you call it, strains of Lyme. And so we're doing an herbal assault on right? That's a good way to put it, right?
Yeah.
An herbal assault on the on what's going on inside my body, and hoping that that will then release some of the Lyme from my body, and also, you know, get it out of my central nervous system, which I think is where my problem is right now. But everything is a theory, and I'm learning as I go along, and as I did when I had my heart experience, which if you are interested in learning more about that, go back a few years into Bicycle Talk episodes, and you will find an episode which I'm not sure if I ever titled it properly when I put it up, but I'll try to find it and bring it on. But it was called A Bump in the Road, and that was my first day back at the microphone and the camera after having a quadruple bypass. So I'm an open book. I want to share everything I learn to everyone out there who rides a bike, because I want everyone to ride a bike. And I want everyone to be happy and comfortable while riding a bike. So I'm going to be an open book about it. And if you're looking for someone else who's shared with me, Too Tall Billy has been on the show with me. We sat on the couch right back here, and we held our heart pillows, because we have both had the experience of dealing with open heart surgery. And then, yes, there is a world of cycling after that. It's not the end of the line for you. It's just the beginning of a turn down a new road. Let's put it that way. Got to put these into terms that people can understand. So, anyway, I think chiropractic care might be a major bonus here. And like I said, I will continue to report on it. If it goes completely sour on me, I'll let you know that too. I'm not gonna, you know, shy away from what I'm feeling or what I'm experiencing with this. Well, to be continued, I think, is what this is called. All right. Speaking of to be continued, okay, let me get rid of... Okay, so we're here. The bicycle industry. So the bicycle industry is at a... I'm not going to call it a crossroads. I'm going to call it a... You know when you go out and ride a bike and you climb a hill and you're working real hard and you're getting all the way up to the top of that hill and then you go screaming down the other side? That's where they are. They're down there on the other side. They're in a low point right now. And peaks and valleys are a thing that I always used to talk about this in the bicycle world with my dealers when I was out doing my sales calls, because one dealer would tell me how business was bad. Then I go to the next one, the first thing they'd ask me was, so how's it looking out there? How's it look out there? Because I'm the eyes and the ears of the industry, as well as being a sales representative in the bike industry. I also was the guy who was out there relaying information from one dealer to another dealer without exposing who that dealer was, because that's not right. I was kind of the barometer of, you know, what was going on in the industry. And I remember talking with the dealer many, many years ago, and he gave me the 7-year talk. And I said, What are you talking about? He goes, peaks and valleys every 7 years. He said, I've been in the bike business. My dad was in the bike business before me. I've been in the bike business for many, many years. And he said, every 7 years, he said, there's a peak and a valley. He goes, you got to keep your eyes on that all the time. So for anybody out there in the industry that's listening to this, try to run that one by your records, your business records, and see how that falls in place. If it does, great. If it doesn't, better for you. I don't care. Whatever works. But it is kind of a trend that this particular dealer, who had that store, had been in business for 70 years, I think, at that time. You know, they see a lot. In 70 years of time between two generations of ownership, they saw a lot. So anyway, so let's step forward, and we're going to go back to Donnie. I can't call him Mr. or President. Donnie could impose reciprocal tariffs as soon as April. Unless a deal is negotiated ahead of his deadline, the move would significantly increase U.S. tariffs on bike products for some of the largest supplier nations. But some countries have lower tariffs than the U.S. on bike products. So he said on Thursday he released an executive memo instructing officials to prepare to impose reciprocal tariffs on a global basis as soon as April 2nd. So I have a piece here, CABDA, the Chicago Area Bicycle Dealers Association, had their big Midwest show this past week. And so I have some reactions here to tariffs and other news from CABDA. So I thought that these would be great to share here with you guys, just for anyone who is in the industry and is concerned to hear what other people are saying out there. You know, because like I said, when I was a rep in the industry, people would ask me all the time, what's it feel like out there? How is everybody else doing? Is it me? That was my favorite one. Is it me? Is it me? Is it our store? Is that what's going on? Look, if you're asking me this question, it's not you. It's everywhere. You know, whatever is happening, whatever your trend is probably very similar to the trend of the guy that's either a guy or girl that runs a store down the street or, you know, half a state away or whatever. You're going to find that these trends tend to follow with others that are out there in the industry. So, it's not you. And you know, then there's that sensitive issue where you go into a store and you see this dealer, and how do you put it? He's kind of doing everything wrong. And you take a look at that, and you know, you're trying really, really hard to be diplomatic in your approach of how to explain to this particular person that if they would just make these critical changes in their store, they could do a whole lot better. And but I had to be really careful about who I said it to, because people who own businesses tend to be pretty focused on what they're doing and mildly stubborn about, you know, seeing things from the outside. So I remember going to one dealer and having this conversation because, you know, there were a few things about their store that really annoyed me, because I looked at it and went, God, these guys are bright, they're hardworking, they do all sorts of great things right, and yet they've got like five things that they're doing so incredibly wrong that I could really help them with their business, but I'm not going to do it unless they ask me. I'm not going to give them the information unless they really need to hear it. And so I was having a conversation with one of, there were two partners here. I was having a conversation with one of the partners, and he said, so what's it like being a rep after being a bike shop owner? And I went, well, you know, that's a great question. And it segued me right into where I needed to go with him. And I said, actually, what I found is once I got out of the store and started visiting other stores, I would walk into different establishments and I would see every single mistake I ever made happening before my very eyes. And he looked at me and got this really worried look on his face and went, oh my God, he goes, so what are we doing wrong? And I said, well, I said, I'm not really willing to share anything with you unless you're willing to accept it. And he went, yeah, okay, let me go grab my partner. So he goes and grabs his partner. And they, you know, they, he said, tell him what you told me. And I told him, and I said, we can start with some very basics. And he went, okay. I said, let's go outside. And I walked him outside into the parking lot, long away from his store, so he could really see. They were in a plaza, and I you know, there were different businesses in that plaza. And we're standing out in front of it, and I said, okay, here's my first observation that I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just here to give you information, and you guys can defend it or do whatever you want. No, tell us. And I said, what do you see? Well, we see, you know, a pizza place over there. We see a clothing store over there. We see whatever, you know, I don't know, what, toy store over there, whatever it was. I can't even remember what was there. And I said, and our bike shop, of course. And I said, oh, yeah, there's a bike store there. Yeah, there is. I said, how do I know there's a bike store there? And they looked at me and said, Ron, there's a sign right up above, says, you know, blah, 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 bike store. And I went, oh, yeah, okay, there's that. But what are you doing there? Let's get a little closer. So we walk up closer to the front door. And I said, so what do you do in your bike store? And they look at me and they shake their head and go, Ron, we sell bicycles, of course. And I said, okay, how do I know that? By looking at the front of your store. And they both looked at each other kind of dumbfounded and said, what are you talking about? I said, you got a bike in the window. You got another bike in this window. So, yeah, there's probably bikes in here. But what do you do with them? Do you sell them? Do you repair them? Do you talk about them? Do you, you know, upgrade them? How do you communicate with the two most expensive parts of your store, which are the front windows that leak all of the heat and they leak all of the air conditioning? How do you communicate that with your public? And then I had a chat with them about changing window designs around every month and making a 12-month plan and doing all that. And they're like, wow, we never even thought of this. And I said, and then there's one other crucial thing that's going on here that I would never even consider that you guys did unless I walked in your door. And they went, well, what's that? And I said, do you guys fix bikes? And they went, of course we fix bikes, Ron. I said, how do I know that from out here? And they went, oh. I said, get yourself a neon sign. Bike repairs. Anything. Whatever it is. But you got to let the public outside know that you do things other than just bicycles on the inside. And, of course, we walk in the door. And there were a bunch of other things that popped out, but one of the major ones, and I talked to them, how important is your repair business? How much volume do you do there? What percentage of your business, or your dollar volume, is it? And they were like, well, you know, we do really well. This is, you know, it's our big money maker because it's the one thing that we, you know, don't need to discount, and, you know, and I said, okay, so I'm bringing my bike in. I'm standing here at your counter. And I said, how do I know you fix bikes? And they go, what are you talking about? I said, where's your bike repair department? Where's the signage? Where's the indication to tell me that I need to go back here to the service desk and have my bike worked on? And they went, oh. So they made those improvements. Those are just a couple of them. And they, a month later, I went back to visit, and they went, oh, my God, I can't believe what you did. That made a huge difference for us, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, sometimes you have to, if you own a bike shop or you're in the bike business, you got to go outside the box and take a look at what you got, because you'll never see it unless you open your mind. It's very important. So anyway, we go to CABDA, and we're going to talk about unprecedented times. There's no telling what this guy will do. It's scary. We know who the guy is. It's scary. I just talked to my Giant rep here, and they've already adjusted for tariffs heading into 2025, so that's already good. People come into the store and have to pay $600 or $700 for a basic bike. I'm worried it may get worse in 2026. That's from one dealer. Another dealer who owns a large chain of bikes. Tariffs are going to create more inflation across the board. Interest rates are not going down, which is going to create a problem with housing. It's always been a pattern. If the housing market's bad, the bike industry won't do well either. A lot of bike manufacturers have moved away from China to Vietnam and Cambodia, which is a good thing. So that was from a very, very large retailer. He owns multiple stores. Here's another one from a Chicago bicycle shop owner. I'm feeling positive and I'm actually looking forward to a good year this year. I'm done with being worried. I find that worrying about things I can't control is unhealthy.
Yeah.
Smart man. I can't so talking about politics in the store doesn't happen from my side. I find it more helpful to my customers who I'm there to serve to just stick with service subjects. I encourage and sometimes need to enforce civility. I thought that was a great answer.
Yeah,
that's a really open-minded, positive, great answer. And that's the key part here. First words, I'm feeling positive. I'm actually looking forward to a good year. That's the drill, folks. That's the drill. You want to do well with your business? That's what has to come out of your mouth every single time, no matter how things are. I went to a seminar for this years ago, and the seminar was, it was entitled Unbelievable, right? Okay, great word, great, great word. How's business? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable has a lot of connotations here, so it could be unbelievable because you haven't had good business for a while and you're just out of your mind trying to figure it out. So it is truly unbelievable, isn't it? Or it could be unbelievable because, you know, some days we're doing really good. And then other days, nobody walks through the door. It's unbelievable. I can't figure it out. Or it could be that business is so good that you're having a hard time believing it. So it truly is unbelievable. Unbelievable is a great word. And it never, ever leaves a negative image in the person you're talking to. So if you got a customer coming in and they ask you how business is, you know the answer. I've given it to you. So anyway, here's another dealer comment here. Initially, I don't see any change happening, maybe in the next 6 months. Might see a 10% change, $100 on a bike. That's not really going to affect our market. It's out of our control, and everybody's in the same boat. Good answer. I don't like it, but there's nothing I can do about it. A reverse tariff, as reverse tariffs come in, we'll make concessions, and our tariffs will go away. So, again, a nice, optimistic kind of look at it. Last dealer comment here, I expect a raise in the cost of bikes and components with that being passed on to the consumer. As we saw the last time in round one of the tariffs, it may stagnate our industry when it's already pretty stagnant. Main focus is on service, so hopefully we can maintain that. Some people may shy away from repairs if the cost of parts goes too high. So that's a good overview of bike dealers from the Midwest who are looking at what's going on with the possible tariff rise, which is going to really affect the cost of items coming in from China, which there are so, so many that are in the bicycle industry. So we'll see what happens, and we're going to keep an eye on that all year long for you here at Bicycle Talk. And let you know what we hear, what we see. And, you know, I was once told by a person when I first got into the industry, and I came into the industry in 1978, and it was not a good time to open a bike shop. Interest rates were ungodly high. It was just, if you didn't come in with a little bit of extra cash, of which I used every last penny I had, and so did my partner, And if you were borrowing money, you weren't going to survive. But if you had a little bit of money to start with, you could kind of pull it off. And if you hustled, you could pull it off, which is exactly what I did. But it's just this person told me that the bicycle industry is inflation proof. I don't think that's quite true. I don't think it's 100% said the economy can be good, the economy can be bad, but bicycles are always going to go out your door, because if the economy is good, people are going to buy really nice bicycles. If the economy is bad, people are going to be restricted to just riding their bicycles. So he goes, you're always going to be safe from this. Not 100% in agreement with this, but, you know, as I learned, as I went through my 7-year ups and downs going through the industry, I would say he was probably mostly right. So anyway, what is it a good time to get into the bike business? No, probably not. Dealers are exiting right and left, and I know why, and I know the challenges that they face, and I tip my cycling cap to those who have stayed in, because, you know, I love the industry and I love the people in the industry. I love the attitudes towards the people that are in the industry. It is a lifestyle industry. It is not one that you're going to make $1 million with unless you started with two. But anyway, that's exactly what it is. But that's my overview on the bicycle business right now. And this is the end of our show. So I'm going to bring this one to a halt. And we'll talk about some other things soon. Maybe next week I'll hit some of those advocacy issues and some of the things that are happening inside of the big cities in the United States. And, you know, where we think we're going to be from this point on. We got a calendar in front of us here. The Frozen 4 training series starts on March 2nd. It is in Farmington, Connecticut. It's the 2nd through the 24th. Every weekend, it's a bike training race. National Bike Summit is March 11th through the 13th at the MLK Junior Memorial Library in Washington, D.C. If you're big into bicycle advocacy and want to get involved in that, that's kind of a cool thing to go to. The Natchog Epic, presented by Specialized for 2025 in Thompson, Connecticut at the Thompson Speedway. It's not very far from here. It's only 24 miles from my house. There's an 82-mile, a 60-mile, a 48-mile, a 32-mile, and a 10-mile gravel ride. Yes, all gravel in the quiet corner of northeastern Connecticut. Beautiful, wonderful, great. Ciclismo Classico Bicycle Film Festival, Tuesday, March 18th at 6 p.m. at the Somerville Theater, 55 Davis Square, Somerville, Massachusetts. It's a really cool thing. You'll get to see some exotic and interesting films. And the Philly Bike Expo is March 8th through the 9th. Hey, look at that, at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And did someone send you a memo on this? Is that how this came up? I'm interested.
Somebody was posted on Facebook that they were going, so I looked it up for you.
Very cool. Very cool. So that is also coming up. I am running out of time here, so I'm going to have to finish it up. I'm going to say it again. It won't be the last time. I want you to get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and get out there and do something about it. And hey, take the Pedal and Ron Challenge. Park your car or truck one day, just one day in the week, and use your bicycle instead. You just might surprise yourself. This holiday, okay. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you are interested in talking to me, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Save mine. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. See you next week.
get on your bikes and ride.